You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's hit well toward right center field. Toward the wall! Let's have a Marte party! And the Bucks take a 4-1 lead in the eighth. Fly ball toward right center. Marte back to the track, approaching the wall, leaping up, and he makes the catch. Raise the Jolly Roger at the wall. The grab by Marte, the man who hit the home run that gave the Pirates the lead.
Greg Brown with the call last night right here on 93.7 The Fan. A heck of a night for Starling Marte. The game-winning home run tied at one in the bottom of the eighth, a three-run shot. And then the game-ending catch at the wall in the top of the ninth. Marte, third consecutive month. He's been hitting over 300, 333 in August, four homers, just shy of 300 for the year now. He's at 293, I think it is. 291, pardon me. Point is, he's having a heck of a year. Seven outfield assists. He's arguably been the best or at least most consistent player on this team all year.
What
the question
is
22nd
home run?
One of
probably?
Just four guys in baseball who's 2020 so far this year, home runs and stolen bases. The question is, what has it gotten the Pittsburgh Pirates?
He's emblematic of living in both worlds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the kind of guy where if you buy players and you go out and you get good players, he seamlessly, if you will.
Thank you, AB.
He folds right in with great players that you want to get in the open market.
We saw that on the wild card teams of a few years ago.
Russell Martin, guys like that. Yep. He seamlessly folds in, right? So he's that part of it. He's that part of the – he's that end of it if you want to go that way. You're not going to have a problem bringing in great players and keeping him in the heart of the order and them saying, wow, I want to play with Starling Marte. Wow, he really helps us. He's part of the core, and there's a – but he's also part of, in living in both worlds, he's a guy you look at along with Vasquez where you say, if we want to blow this thing up, he's a guy that you look at to trade. So,
otherwise, he's the MVP on a 70-win team.
Right. The third option is one that is dumb. That's dumb from a managerial standpoint. When I say managerial standpoint, I mean from managing a corporation
personnel-wise.
Standpoint. Why are you going to have a guy like that on a team that's going nowhere?
And this is not to, I guess, underappreciate what Starling Marte has done this year.
No.
He's had a great year, arguably the best of his career. But he's had the best year of his career, and they're still in the tank.
All he can do is go out and perform every night, and he does. Isn't it incumbent upon management to do one thing or the other with the guy?
Either put a team around the guy, more than just, Josh Bell and Brian Reynolds. Put a team around the guy. Or, like you said before, blow it up and use him as a catalyst, and maybe Felipe Vasquez as a catalyst towards a full-fledged rebuild.
Because his purpose right now is you turn on the television at 7:05 at night, and you know what you're going to get from the guy, like you just pointed out, 2020 guy. You know you're going to get that catch at the end of the game. You know you're going
to
get
he's going to be a threat to nail someone if they try to take that extra base
and
or score at the plate.
We've all seen it here. He's prone to screw up here and there. We get it. But he drives in three last night, and he's going to end up hitting, just like he always does, right around 300 probably, or a little bit lower. He's going to run. He's going to take an extra base. He's going to show flashes of brilliance. You're going to turn the game on. You're going to watch that. Okay. But you're still going to be 52-73. What does that guy on your team get you? And I say nothing. So you have to do one of two things. You build around him.
Yes.
Or you shuttle him off. Having him in this purgatory of sorts, having him as a tie between both of those worlds, is the dumbest of dumb general managering.
Because
whatever the word is.
I think it's a word now. Because if you look at it too, he's 30 years old this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's not getting any younger, at least as far as baseball age goes. He's in his prime for maybe another, two or three years? Especially when you consider the fact that his prime is because he's a 2020 or perhaps by the end of the year, a 30-30 guy. He can fly. He can throw. He can hit. He can do all that. Five tools, right? Okay, how many of those five tools will still be at the peak of their prime in 3 or 4 years?
It's normally not a good tactic to trade the best player on a team, right? It's normally not a good thing. But you have to make a decision one way or the other with the best player on a team.
Yes, because if you're going to get that starting pitching that we've talked about them having to go out and get this offseason, and Jim, you made this point earlier, and it's a really good one. If you're not going to spend the money on it in the open market this offseason, you're going to have to trade somebody to get it, and they clearly need top-of-the-rotation pitching.
Do you think that he has enough value that he could get another team's best pitching prospect in return?
One of their best pitching prospects.
Yeah.
When is his value going to be higher?
Yeah, that's what I was just.
Sure, you're right about. No, you're right about that. I'm just, you know, the way that, and it's not just the Pirates, but the way that all management, you know, management groups and personnel people are looking at all these, the metrics and all this other stuff, where they're going to say, well, you know what, we can get a guy that's almost as good as he
is.
I'll
go the other way with it. Let me go the other way with it. The Pirates person, the administration of the Pittsburgh Pirates are doing this fan base an incredible disservice if Starling Marte plays the rest of the balance of his career in this town and they don't build around him.
Yeah.
You're just turning on the television or going to the ballpark and watching him play, and he's playing with guys that aren't capable and up to his level. Again, he's prone to mistakes. I get that. But he's a brilliant baseball player. You're putting a team together that isn't at his level, and it's an absolute disservice both to him and to the fan base. And it's absolutely ridiculous. And that's why about a year or 2 years ago, I called him a liability. And in his contract, in the way that it's structured, I'll never back off of that. His contract and having him on this baseball team is a definite liability to what you're doing. And you're not trying to get anywhere with him.
What it comes back to is what we always talk about with this organization. You're living in that murky gray middle of nowhere rather than choosing one definite path or the other.
And he is the biggest example of that. Mm-hmm.
And again, this is not to discredit the season he's having, because people are going to jump all over us and say, oh, the guys on the morning show were talking about Marte.
It's actually to build up the season.
The point is to take advantage of the season that
he's having.
Exactly.
How do you have a 30-30 guy, which he could very well end up being, and still end up short of 70 wins? How do you do that? How do you put that kind of team around that kind of player? What is the future of Marte in Pittsburgh? 412-928-9370. That's the number. Have it handy for when we give away Chris Young tickets in less than 5 minutes here on the Fan Morning Show. Also, use it to tell us what you think. What's the future of Starling Marte as a Pittsburgh Pirate? Not because we're looking to push him out of town, but because we're looking for the organization to commit to one direction or another. Is it building around Marte? A 30-30 guy this season, most likely. He's already one of just four guys who's 20-20, who's having the best year of his career, and who knows it.
I've been doing a good job, and everybody pushed me to continue to do what I do, but season is over, you know? I have to push myself by second every night and try to get support on the guy and support to everybody.
Yeah, support to everyone, including himself, the possible 300 guy, the possible RBI leader, the possible batting champion, and they're still going to end up losing 90 games. So what does it all mean if you've got those pieces in place but you don't build around them?
It's crazy. It's not crazy that it's in the now. It's crazy that it didn't they're not looked at through a proactive lens.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy that it's not built around prior. And by prior, I mean building the pitching staff, supplementing it. Like, people think everything with the Pittsburgh Pirates is about money, and it's not. Not everything is about money. This is.
Mm-hmm.
Building a pitching staff, going out and accruing talent, getting free agents. Again, we're back in that danger zone where the big danger is free agents probably don't want to come here now because you didn't strike when you could.
Right.
I got something that's totally ridiculous.
Okay.
Brett Michaels wore a Steelers bandana at his father's funeral because, of course, that's what his dad would have wanted. I love Pittsburgh. This just happened. This story's like moving on the wire right now. This morning. I'm reading now from the Associated Press. Some funeral attendees exchanged their funeral blacks for Pittsburgh sports team jerseys, while Brett Michaels wore a Steelers bandana at Monday's funeral for Wallace Sychak III.
Yes.
A lifelong Pittsburgh sports fan, resident of Camp Hill, and the Poison singer's father. Brett Michaels was in Poison, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sychak's family, Brett Michaels' dad, said that he would have loved to see those at his funeral sporting jerseys from his favorite teams, the Steelers the Pirates and, you know, of course, the Penguins.
Right.
His obituary states that his funeral was not a formal occasion, but, and I quote, a party to celebrate Wally's life and legacy.
A black and gold tie affair, if you will.
Oh, I got more. The funeral took place August 19th at St. Timothy's Lutheran Church. Visitation was held beforehand. Penn Live was given permission to photograph the funeral outside of the church. Then it goes on to show all this stuff. Sychak was 85 years old at the time of his death. He was a lifelong Pennsylvanian, born in Lindora,
okay.
Which I love the Lindora Hotel. They had great wings at the Lindora Hotel, if you've ever been there.
No.
He went to Butler High School and graduated from Slippery Rock. So, I mean, Butler County, come on.
Yeah.
Sychak served with the U.S. Navy, the Korean War, advocated the care of veterans throughout his life. He worked as a hardware analyst at the U.S. Naval Department. His son, Brett Michael Sychak, described him as follows. My father was a dreamer. He was my warrior, my friend, and most important, my dad. So there's that. But Brett Michaels wore a Steelers bandana at the behest of his father.
His dad
to his dad's funeral.
Gave Brett something to believe in.
You're right about that. Good work by you. I think that's amazing, though. I love it.
Brett Michaels is so Pittsburgh. I love it.
He really is so Pittsburgh.
And I mean that in all sincerity.
They had nothing but a good time at that funeral. By the way,
I can imagine more than one person said, you know what?
Every rose has its thorn.
I won't forget you.
Yeah, you think so? Did they give him something to believe in? Did you already say that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Unskinny
pop. All right. I think we gotta stop.
That's enough. No, but good on them. Good on them for doing it the way that his dad wanted to.
You know what? We kid around about this a lot.
Uh-huh.
But, hey, if that's what the man wanted.
I agree.
Blow it out the way he wanted you to.
There's nothing better than, and this was right when producer Matt started working on the show. You remember when the family of the guy called us, the guy that got laid out in Garfield or whatever, in an easy chair.
Sitting in the recliner? Yeah.
Holding a beer and having a cigarette with the Steeler game on.
Yeah.
And his family called us and said, I'm so glad that you guys are talking about this on your show because Rob or whatever his name was,
mm-hmm.
He just really wanted to be laid out this way. And it really warms our heart that you're talking about this. I kind of felt good that morning, you know? You remember that?
Yes, I do.
His son was like real sincere about
it. It's literally their final wish.
Yes.
Give it to them just the way they asked for it.
There are pictures of that on the internet. My man was laid out in a lazy boy with Steeler tapes on with a cracked Iron City or Stroh's or something just watching a Steeler game.
God bless him.
Jim, did you hear the story? You're just walking in. Brett Michaels wore a Steeler bandana to his dad's funeral.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, his dad wanted it to be a kind of a Pittsburgh party.
It's amazing. Another thing that only here.
Only here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.